Blog Talk Radio.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon a stringed instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad. Though thy work, I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high, forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt, like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire upon mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked and rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. It shall still bring forth fruit in old age. It shall be fat and flourishing to shew that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Truly I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord, and come on in this house where the table is spread, and the feast of the Lord is going on. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. An heir of salvation, righteousness of God, filled with his spirit, lost in his love. Let us give raise unto the praise on this glorious and victorious day it is. Sunday, October 8th, 2017, you've tuned in to the Wisdom Alliance. Heard all over the world, on all 7 continents, through the Blog Talk Radio Network. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast. The Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, known as your Modestin and Maharani, the divine teachers we're supplicating with is the Holy Spirit through the knowledge of God. And we're blessed to be here with you today, to all those in listening land, to those on the Facebook network, to my friends that are really showing the love of God dwells within them, to Robin and to Donna Renee and to Alfredo and to Alfonde and to Robin and to all of my wonderful friends. If I forgot to mention you, Jeffrey Burton, that's right, mentioning you and Blessed Annie and Tanya Nika Hicks, we are so fortunate to have you listening in with us. And to my friend, Mr. Brown, Mr. James Brown Jr., who wrote the very soul-searching epitome of every Christian, are you an asset or a liability to the kingdom of God? To all those who are doing the work of God. Be you, this is a word of encouragement, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the love of God. Continue on. Allow his presence to dwell richly within you, and so shall you and all that you do be blessed. Even to those who are listening, who I've never got a chance to meet in the physical, God circumferences in the spiritual. He knows who you are, name by name. He knows what your desires are, what your experiences are, what your needs are. I'm encouraging you through the word of God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Seek you first. Seek you first. The kingdom of God. Don't seek after the things that you want. Seek you first, the kingdom of God, and all of its righteousness, and all of these other things should be added unto you. I read for your whole consideration and your spiritual motivation and your self-elevation. The 92nd division of Psalms, a song for the Sabbath day. That's why truly we know that this is the day that the Lord has made. And we should rejoice and be glad in it and lift up his name. For God has given him a name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. He is Lord to the glory of God. And I tell you what the Wisdom Alliance is doing now. It's bringing believers together from all across the nation, from every denomination, and to sit in heavenly places in God. It's not about religious proliferation. It's not about man-made associations. It's not even about physical congregations. It's about the Spirit of God that dwells richly within us. And God is bringing us together for the commonite purpose to redeem mankind from his current state of catastrophe through the name of Jesus. We're not promoting any individual because God looks at us as the same. God is not a respecter of persons, so you don't hear me utilizing postures and positions and various types of certifications because God's seal of authenticity is the Holy Spirit. And so many people are looking for fame, fortune, and recognition. And we refer to these individuals as cosmetic and cosmopolitan Christians. No, we have to eat the roll, the whole roll. The whole roll says, follow peace with all men and holiness, about no man shall see the Lord. Aren't you tired of dwelling on that same level of your existence? Aren't you ready to be raised up in this season of Shekinah glory? Where God is dispersing divine favors for those who have prayed, who have toiled, who have been through the storm, only to encounter another storm, who have climbed up one side of the mountain only to feel themselves condescending to the valley below. This is the time of the latter rain. See, rain does a good thing to nature itself. And when the spiritual reflection of rain is condensed or reflected upon, there are three types of rain. The first rain damps the ground. The second rain nurtures the seed that was planted in the ground. Are you listening this morning? This is the word of knowledge. The third rain caused the sprawl to happen, the immense and gargantuan growth process to manifest. You've been in the watering stage for too long. It's time to experience the sprawl of the latter rain. You've been in the planted stage for too long. It's time for the latter rain. Now it's time for the third level, the sprawl, the growth of everything we've anticipated, our dreams, our greatest expectations, to manifest those divine breakthroughs, divine deliverance, divine favor. This is that phase of the latter rain brought on through the Shekinah glory. When God, see, understand this is the word of knowledge. The Shekinah glory season is the season in which God communes with man. We know we have communion through Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are sealed unto redemption. But it is a faith in which God is performing those things that we had gave up upon, that we thought would never manifest. That divine favor. He's showing us that this is I who granted you this favor. This is I who granted you the petition and your plea. This is I who performed the miracle. Man said it wouldn't happen. I say it already did happen. So call your neighbor. Call your friends. Call that coworker. Call that family member. Talk to your spouse and say, you know what? We need to tune in and get turned on to the frequency of G-O-D through the power of the Our, W-O-R-D, For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. We are doing great things in the Lord. Just because you don't see the physical manifestation, cast not away your confidence, for it has great recompense of reward. This is a time of manifestation. Everything that got watered upon, planted, nurtured, is now taking the raw manifestation. And it's time for us all to look up and live. Far too many of us have been looking down to the ground, feeling as though we were buried by the very challenges of life, circumstances, situations, difficult people, transitioning. Now it's time to look up and live. And this is part two of the previous teaching segment that was brought to you on last week. God, our Father, through the power of thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, through the unctioning of the Holy Spirit, speak to us at this very hour through the power of your word, with the manifestation of the latter rain, brought through your Shekinah glory, will take place within each and every one of our lives. To all those who are listening, to all those who are receiving, let them take this message back and let the revival begin. Bind every hand of the enemy, every dark force, every negative configuration, every spirit of witchcraft, of sorcery, of idolatry, of demonic influence, cast it asunder and cause it to be destroyed. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, divine favor we speak, divine wealth and divine prosperity we speak in the name of Jesus, divine healing we speak in the body, in the spirit, and in the mind. Reconciliation, revival, restructuring, revitalization, renewal, through looking up to live. We thank you that you came, O Heavenly Father, through thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ, that we would have life and that more abundantly, and open up the manifestation of your word so that we receive it with added joy and we take that joy to others and let the miracles happen. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we thank you. Amen and amen. Amen means so be it. It is done. And that we're rejoicing in what has been done. And we're saying to you, listening audience, it's time. Say it with me. Look up to heaven and raise your hands and say, Lord, it's time for me to look up and live. That's right. Look up and live. And what a wonderful thing it is to live and to live in Christ. That's right. Because we've become more than just conquerors. Right. Through him that loved us. I want you to go with me to the Holy Word of God. We're going to the New Testament. And we're going to the first book of Thessalonians. And let us go to the third chapter and the 11th verse. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you. What is Apostle Paul saying to those who are dwelling in the land of Thessalonica? He's saying that you will continue on doing what is right, that you will not allow the influences of what's going on around you to affect you in such a way that you're inoperative and incapable of focusing and doing what is right. Temptation is always going to be there. The desire to do the opposite is always going to be present and prevalent. But we have to rely upon the power of God within us to give us the victory to overcome every obstacle and situation. And why should we do that? The 12th verse says that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Ooh, that's powerful. What is Apostle Paul saying? He's saying so that when others who are around us, in our company, some good, some bad, some borderline, are going through situations in their life, experiencing things that are not positive, you're productive. If they will see you flourishing, that you're not begging, you're not borrowing, you're not falling apart, you're not being overtaken or overwhelmed, but you are being revitalized. You are growing where you're planted. You are blessed beyond all explanation. That they see you in a manner and in a way that cannot be explained. This is what we're supposed to do. We are that city that sits upon a hill that cannot be hidden. That we should be that example of God's miracle-working power. Our prosperity is God's prosperity. Our perfect health is God's perfect health. Everything that's within us and within our lives should replicate or emulate or duplicate the greatness and the splendor of God and the kingdom of heaven. We are the earthly ambassador of his goodwill, of his power, and of his presence. And this is what he's saying, so that when people look at you and say, you know something, despite what's going on, you're holding fast. And let them know, honestly, how it is that we're holding fast, how we're looking up, and how we live despite all the things that are condescending around us. How do we look up and live? Let me give you the step-by-step progressions on how to look up and live. Go over to the fifth chapter, same book, First Thessalonians, and let us go. Begin at the 12th verse. And we beseech you, brethren, when possible, saying beseech you, that means I'm begging you, please pay close attention. Don't just take this lightly. To know them which labor among you. Do you know those who are truly laboring amongst you? Many of you say, well, we know you. Yes, I'm laboring amongst you. I live the life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and are over you in the Lord. And admonish you. What is he saying? That have your best interest in mind. Have your best interest in mind. Who desire the very wealth of God in your life. Who want to see you prosper. Who want to see you productive. Who want to see you be the reciprocation of God's infinite mercy and his miracle-working power. Acknowledge them. Speak well of them. Speak highly of them. Give consideration to him and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Say a word of prayer for me and for others who you know are earnestly contending for the faith that was once received by the saints, who are truly in the field and working, not by word of mouth, but by existential deeds, by provisions. And be at peace amongst yourselves. That means let peace continue. Be compassionate toward one another. Why? Because you need to look up and live. The 14th verse, now we exhort you. That means we encourage you. We strongly encourage you. Brethren, warn them that are unruly. That means give word of warning to them who are acting out of character. The scripture tells us that we see one of our brethren that are acting out of character. We admonish him as a brother. That means admit that he is of the circumcision, she's of the circumcision, but have no dealings with them. That means don't partake in their evil. You have to correct them. A soft word turneth away much wrath. Why? Because we all want to look up and live. Comfort the feeble-minded. You know, the weak and the feeble-minded compromise we're going to have with us. Some people are not as academically astute as others. Some people are not as logically sound as others. We don't sit up and make fun of them and make enlightenment of them and laugh at them. Because in doing so, we're displeasing God. We strengthen them. We give them encouragement. And, you know, when you're in Rome, you do as the Romans do. You're in the Phoenicians, you do as the Phoenicians do. And Apostle Paul said, condescending to men of lower estate. That means getting on the very level that they're on and administering to them through not only your words but through your deeds. Your deeds are your seeds. They're your fruits. They're the manifestation of what's been planted within you. Support the weak. Everybody needs a shoulder to cry on sometimes. Everybody needs an open ear to listen, not hear them. Here's the automatic operative of the inner ear, of the audio proclivity. But when you're listening, you're giving consideration and concentration to what's being said. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. That means consider yourself. Before you start judging the way a person's shoes look, consider the mileage that may have been placed upon those shoes. Consider the trudges of the valley, the steepness of the mountainside, the circumference very elements of that hill that that individual had to ascend and possibly fall from. Instead of making enlightenment about them, give consideration and say, patience will allow you to possess your soul. As God's patient with us, we must be patient with one another. And you'd rather do it on your own. You don't want God to cause you to be patient. I've heard many people say, Lord, make me patient. You know, tribulation working for patience. You're asking for things to turn over, turn topsy-turvy, upside down in your life when you're asking for patience. So do it on your own. You have the Holy Spirit. You have no excuse. When you have the Holy Spirit, say, I have. Stay with me. I have the Holy Spirit within me, the divine teacher. I have no excuse. He says, let patience have its perfect work. Well, you will be perfect and entire. That means complete and lacking nothing. 15th verse. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. I've heard people actually sit down and say, who are truly Christians, and say, I'm going to get him for what he did to me. Oh, you know, he's not getting away with that. I'm going to fix her. Vengeance, say this with me. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Now, if you want to go and pay someone back, remember this, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I didn't write not one word of this. I did not write one word of the scripture. This is God speaking to us and telling us that. So you be careful when you say certain things, because your words have life, and the life that may be impacted may be yours. It's time for us to what? Look up and live, okay? Look up and live. 16th verse. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice always. And then again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Are you listening? That the day of the Lord is at hand. We're careful. That means mindful. When you're careful, you're mindful of all things that we do, we say, act, and react upon, and do so with supplication and with prayer. Let me give you a greater understanding of that. That doesn't mean you're going to stand amid the very municipality or the work environment or any other location and make a long repetitious prayer and have everybody stop and watch and see what you're doing. That is a pharisaical spirit or a spirit of the Pharisees. No, you're praying within. Lord, help me not to offend nor to be offensive. Lord, help me to defend, but do it in the right way. Lord, give me the grace I need to be able to succeed. Give me the knowledge that I should know how to apply that which you have given me. Give me the grace so that in case I don't balance right, that your grace will be sufficient unto me and that your strength be made perfect in my weakness. God, give me the wisdom so that I can understand balance and logic. We have to ask God for all of these things because we cannot do them independent of ourselves. And if you think you can make this journey alone and that you can have righteousness without the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, you're a sadly and badly mistaken. This world is going to take you apart limb by limb and knock you down. You can't do it. I can't do it. We can only do all things through Christ that strengthens us.
The 17th verse.
Pray without ceasing. What did our Lord tell us? What did he tell us? Men are to always pray and not faint. Pray without ceasing. Again, We don't have to make these long, repetitious prayers to be glory to men. Within ourselves, saying, Father God, give me the strength. Father God, give me the knowledge. Protect me. Heal me. Keep me. Teach me. Guide me. Provide for me. Be my Jehovah Jireh. Be my Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Be my defender. Be my banner, Jehovah Nissi. We have to pray within ourselves. Without faith, it means you don't stop. I mean, I'm praying when everything is going well in my life and my prosperity is intense and immense and everything I do, God is blessing and prospering, let the season continue. The Lord knows I've had enough dry seasons. When my children are behaving correctly, when my mate is acting in accordance to the word of God, thank you, Lord, let the season continue. Because why, I want to continue to look up and live. Don't think we got it all together because things are right now. No, because God will not allow us to have a perfect and idealistic life. Because if we had too much perfection on this earth, what would we be looking for the splendors of heaven for? No, God lets a little discomfort come, a little shake-up to come to keep us focused so that we maintain spiritual fitness. That's right. We maintain a balanced and harmonious existence. That's why. The 18th verse says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What's Apostle Paul saying here? Look up and live, and all things give thanks. How do you give thanks? Say, thank you, Lord. Find some way within your spiritual man. You can't do it in your flesh. You can never please God in your flesh. But they that are in the flesh, this is the word of God, cannot please God. You want to look up and live, you got to live through the spirit, man. He revitalizes us. He strengthens us. He edifies us. Why? Because our spirit man is connected and influenced by the powers of the Holy Spirit. That's right. So we have to give thanks unto God throughout the day, throughout the night. When we wake up and turn over, we're able to get up and walk on our own 2 feet and be able to do what we need to do in the middle of the night. Thank you, Lord. When we're able to turn over and get up in the morning and go about our daily regimen, thank you, Lord. We're able to prepare that meal in the morning. Thank you, Lord. We're able to walk outside that door, go out that door, get in our vehicle, our method of transportation. Thank you, Lord. Able to make it safe to our workplace. Thank you, Lord. Able to perform the day-to-day operatives and with the guiding hand of God leading us down the path of life. Thank you, Lord. Able to have a financial income. Thank you, Lord. Able to buy food for our families, for ourselves, our nutrition, our nourishment. Thank you, Lord. Able to participate in things beyond our work environment to support others. Thank you, Lord. Able to do. We have to give thanks for everything. Why? Because we want to look up and live. The 19th verse is very elemental. If you want to look up and live, quench not the spirit. What is the Apostle Paul saying? Again, we're in the Word. We're in the Word. Quench not the spirit. And in case you've lost the space and the place, we are 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and now we're in the 19th verse. Quench not the spirit. What spirit? The Holy Spirit. When you wake up in the middle of the night, this is a testimony. Many of you may also have this testimony. If someone comes to mind, pray for that person. A situation or circumstance comes to mind, pray for that circumstance or that situation. The spirit of prayer just overcomes you. I don't care if you got to get up at 5:30 in the morning, it's 4:15. Pray. You don't know what God is keeping you from. You may lay on that bed and the Holy Spirit leads you to pray for somebody. I'm not praying for nobody. I'm sleeping. You may turn around and have a medical emergency. And that's God's way of protecting and keeping you. Why? Because he wants you to look up and wait. By you praying for that person, God will keep that condition out of your way and away from your body. Look up and live. You may get up in the morning and start getting dressed, and all of a sudden, something comes over you and says, you know what, I'm going in an hour later. No, I'm going to go in right on time because I got to be on time. No, you don't know what God can be protecting you from. Look up and live. Quench not the spirit. When the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is ministering to your spirit, man, listen. Stop being so busy. Stop being so preoccupied. Listen, you don't know what he is protecting you from or keeping you from. There was a testimony once of a woman who actually said she started to go to a delicatessen. You know, many of us, we like food as a way of expression, as a way of fellowship, and that's wonderful. We're supposed to enjoy the very bountiful blessings of God in our life. And when she went to that location, the line was excessively long, and she said, for some reason, it just came over her, no, just leave.
Just go.
She wanted to persevere, but her consciousness kept bothering her. So she left, and she made other provisions for herself and her family. And fortunately, she did, because the very person that was preparing those wonderful partaking had a medical condition in which the people in which she provided her services for became ill. So don't ignore the Spirit. Even when the Holy Spirit is telling us and warning us of things or leading us to do things, don't stop. Obey. You feel the praise of God coming into your spirit? Give praise to it. I don't care where you are, what you're doing. Stop and give praise to the praise. You don't know what God is performing or has performed in your life. So when you don't quench something, you're not ignoring. You're not going to ignore it. You're not going to disband or disannul. You're going to accept. So when you quench your thirst, aren't you going to drink water? So when you become dry in this world, don't you get your thirst refurbished or removed by what? The water of the Spirit. Sometimes we just need that perpetual refreshing, that revitalization, only through the Holy Spirit. But we've got to learn to be sensitive, case sensitive, when the Holy Spirit deals with us. The 20th verse, oh, this is one of my favorite too. Despise not prophesying. You want to look up and live? You're going to have to listen to prophesying. Sometimes prophesying are intuitive and distinctive messages that come to us in the spiritual realm, and I know that they come, and I've definitely been obedient in prophesying and telling people things. Some people I've never met in my life, but if something is burdened upon me to tell them, guess what? I don't have to understand it. Who am I? I'm nobody. But I have to be obedient. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So despise not prophesying. Just because I'm prophesying and telling you something maybe you don't want to hear, respect one thing. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit that's leading me to you to give you this information. Act upon it. Because you know something? If I'm led through the Holy Spirit to prophesy a warning to you, and you go out there and something happens to you, guess what? Your blood is not on my hands. I am innocent. I'm only guilty if I fail to warn you in your behavior, in your habitation. So don't get mad. Some prophecies are not pleasant. Some prophecies are blessed. Give us good news. Give us encouragement. But some prophecies are prophecies of warning and astringent correction. Don't despise them. Accept them. Sometimes prophecies come in the way of teaching, conditional messages as look up and live. This is a way of prophesying, saying to one, some of us are in that dead, dry desert habitation. Nothing's growing. Nothing's moving. Nothing's happening right. Everybody around you seems to be progressing and moving forward, and you feel stuck waiting on your day in that oasis. And the oasis seems like it's far off, far fetched, never going to happen. It's because you have not begun to look up beyond where you are in order to live. So this is the way you're prophesying, and make sure you take this message back with you. Prove all things. What does that mean? Give evidence. Give a basis as to why you say the things that you say and do what you do. No, you don't have to explain anything to anybody, but you just do it as a way of validating. Because all that we do in word and deed is to glorify God. And when we glorify God, he will glorify us. Hold fast that which is good. That means do right. even when you don't feel like doing right.
Sometimes you have to apologize to people you haven't even offended. Sometimes you have to humble down and buckle down to accept to do things that you don't even have in your job script.
Amen. Sometimes you got to buckle down and treat family members excessively well, even though you know they treated you worse than dirt. Sometimes you got to take people back in your bosom that have done nothing but tore your garments. Why? Because in doing so, you are perfecting the presence of God within you, and he is being glorified. He's being honored by your actions. And because we honor God through our actions,
God will glorify and honor us through his power, and he will move those mountains. He will shift those paradigms. He will turn upside down the very elements of this world on behalf of his children. Why? Because he knows our desire is to look up and live and to prove that he is a God that stands by his word. He watches over his word to perform it. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, and my word will stand forever. For the word of God is swift and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder both bone and marrow, and tensions of the heart, the very epitome of the soul. So if you want to look up and live, do what he said do.
Abstain from all appearances of evil. That means stand away from things that don't feel right and don't look right. Leave it alone. I don't care if the crowd is doing it. Let them do it. You've got to prove God on every level of your life. If you expect to look up and live and experience the divine favors I do, of the blessings of Abraham, the very prosperity of Jabez, the very anointing of the holy prophets and apostles, you're going to do this. You're going to stay away from things that don't feel right and don't look right. Because why? We cannot allow our garments to be spotted with the flesh, the very impurity and the putridness of this world. Because why? We have to look up and live. The 23rd verse, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and your soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is Apostle Paul saying? He said, and the God that created this heaven and this earth, the God that spoke everything into existence, oh, hallelujah.
The God that allowed man to become a living soul and breathe into his nostrils, and he became the very custodian of society, the very God of peace that passes all understanding, that rules your minds and hearts by the Holy Spirit, will guide you, will keep you, will watch over you. He'll give his angels charge over you. He'll let the Holy Spirit empower you.
He'll let his presence glory you. And that all that you do in your life will be a pleasant experience. It will be a blessed existence. And at the same time as you walk holy, the more holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, God will restore the greatness of this life unto you, because you are walking, H-O-L-Y, holy, which means untainted by the world. It's not about what you put on and what you take off. It's about your mannerism, your character, your desire, your intention, your will, because you're being led by the Holy Spirit. Time to look up and live. 24th verse, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. What is the Apostle Paul saying? Great is he that has summoned you unto his service, and he will watch over his word and perform that which he said he would do if you let him, if you truly want to look up and live. Brethren, pray for us. Remember I said pray for us as spiritual teachers and leaders, that you, God, would continue to give his word to us, that we may give the word to you, that we be doers of the word, not speakers and hearers only, thus deceiving ourselves. One thing I can't stand is a deceitful person. That's right. Because why? They're walking in their own flesh, but proclaiming a spiritual message. No, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. We have to be humble so that the Holy Spirit teacher can work through us. We're nothing but the vessel. That's right. The Holy Spirit is the libation inside the vessel that nurtures you, that
quenches your thirst. We're nothing but the holder of that libation. And we have to continue on in knowing that. The 26th verse, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. That means wish each other well.
Hope the best for each other. Don't become envious and jealous of one another. Greet each other. Some people, you see them in one location that they're in fellowship. They speak to you and have a conversation. You see them out in a secular setting. They act as though they don't know you. That is not a spiritual-minded type of behavior. I charge you, the 27th verse, by the Lord, that this epistle, that means this letter, be read unto all the holy brethren. Apostle Paul is saying that this letter be shared with everyone who is of the circumcision, that they will learn from it what God has required of them as being in his service.
The 28th verse, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, amen.
What a blessed way to end this message that Apostle Paul was saying, because we're going to continue on with part 3, Look Up and Live, next week. These are the base level requirements that will help us to change the way we think, change the way we feel, and to change the way that we interact and communicate with others. But remember, evil communications corrupt good manners. That's right. So therefore, we want to disband and disarm and remove any possibility, any proclivity that would replicate any degree of evil. And we have to continue on in this way because we want to be pleasing in the eyes of God. Amen. We want to truly look up and live. Very quickly, we're going to go to the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians, and we want to go to the 25th verse. It's just a couple of steps away from the previous book we were in Thessalonians. Galatians, the 5th chapter, 25th verse. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. What? In the Spirit. And if you want more support of Scripture, go to Romans, the 8th chapter, the 4th and 5th verse. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. That's the 26th verse. What is Apostle Paul saying here to the church of Galatians? I mean, if we walk to please God and in God's service, we won't be tending to act in the flesh. We won't be carnally minded. Because, see, being carnally minded means death. But being spiritually minded is life and it's peace. This is the reason why we're not receiving all that God has for us, because we got one foot in the world, one foot in the spirit world, and neither are being balanced. That's right, because the world, the carnal mind, is enmity against God. The worldly mind is against the nature of God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So those that are worldly minded cannot please God because they're serving the flesh. That's right. When we become spiritually minded, we serve God wholeheartedly. There's life and there's peace. There's balance. There's harmonious interventions. There's positive results when we please God. And listen, we know that this time has really went by very quickly. Don't get sad, get glad. We're coming back next week with Look Up and Live Part 3. We're moving forward and we're moving fast-paced. Know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. Delight thyself in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of our heart. Reach out to us by way of the Wisdom Alliance through the Blog Talk Network. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. Your questions, your comments, your prayer requests, be sure to inbox them. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Be blessed and let the miracles flow and let them go, because it's time for us all to look up and live. You got your host with the most, and host the Esquire, at a self saying, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We'll see you again next week. Oh, yeah.